Welcome to Marketing with Confidence. I'm your host, Marianne Ames. We're going to be talking all things digital and online marketing for business owners and marketing professionals. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by your digital marketing, be sure to listen along and you'll hear tips, interviews, and more that will give you the confidence to create marketing you love. Hi, welcome to the Marketing with Confidence podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about AI time-saving hacks for marketers or for those that do their own marketing. Now that the dust has settled on AI, I think is a great time to revisit the tools and changes available and really find what is going to benefit you and your workflow. Obviously, it's probably about 12 months or more now, the kind of peak AI panic or peak AI coverage started to roll out, and we all got very panicked about whether AI would replace us and if the robots were coming for our jobs. And during that time, you know, ChatGPT obviously dominated a lot of the conversation. But I think, you know, what's settled in the last kind of 12 months is, number one, there's a surge of new AI platforms, new AI tools, new AI features that we can use. But I think there's also a more realistic view or a realistic sentiment on how AI can, I guess, complement you rather than replace you or assist you in your role. And, you know, there's a lot of groupthink that the people that will, you know, do the best in years to come are, you know, not those that have run from AI, but instead those that have mastered it. And I think really spending the time deep diving into AI tools, testing those tools, learning them, finding which work best and finding what parts of your day or your workload or your processes are best complemented by AI will be the people that succeed. You know, they'll be the people that gain the time and efficiency benefits, but can also, I guess, put more time into the deep thinking, the strategic work, the creative work by, I guess, outsourcing some of the grunt work to the robots and, you know, leaning on AI for that grunt work. So today I'm going to talk to you about a few AI time-saving hacks, specifically, as I said, for marketing or marketers. And, you know, in that realm of digital marketing, some of the areas that I guess we're starting to use AI more as we dip our toe in, as we become more comfortable with it from an agency perspective, and where we're hearing, you know, that people are really starting to explore and gain efficiencies. So it wouldn't be an AI conversation without ChatGPT. Obviously, there are other AI platforms and you know, Google is improving theirs and you know, that race to be the best will continue. It's almost like the social media platforms where I think we'll just continue to see, you know, larger format engines, if you like, that develop that intelligence that we can have those conversations with and you know, how that evolves over the next, you know, 2 to 5 years will certainly be really interesting as well. But there is still a lot of chat about ChatGPT and it has gained a lot of favor. Some great ways that you can use ChatGPT from a marketing perspective is really we like to think firstly in the field of ideation. So, you know, if you're anything like me, the blank canvas can sometimes be really overwhelming. You know, I know from probably for me more from a visual arts perspective, I find it quite hard to create something from a blank canvas, literally. But if I say go into Canva and look at some designs and maybe get one and start playing, I can build that into something that I really like. For a lot of people, I think the same exists with writing. That blank sheet of paper, you know, the infinite possibilities or the starting point can be really overwhelming. But given some prompts, they can get going really quickly. And that's where I see ChatGPT really aiding marketers and aiding you in your marketing work. So one great thing that I love to use ChatGPT for is headline generation. And the best thing about, I guess, these AI tools is we can create, you know, generate, if you like, at scale. So rather than just asking it to give you a headline, rather than asking it to give you 5 headlines, I would ask it to give you 50 headlines. then you're able to wade through the crap, the irrelevant, and really start to get down to what's most useful. So for example, you might be looking at ad copy and you want a headline for those ads, or you want your Google headlines. So I would start and I would prompt and I would say, hi ChatGPT, I need 50 headlines of 75 characters for Google ads for products for a women's face shaping, face rejuvenation product targeting women, 30 to 55. So the more specific you can possibly be, the better. And then you can wade through those 50. And, we know with ad copy, a lot of the work that we do to get the best result is around testing and optimization. So if you can actually use ChatGPT, again, to take that grunt work out for you, that's going to give you a lot of, room now to work in that ideation space and work in that editing space without having to come up with it to begin with. Can also be really great for email marketing. So similarly, you might have a plan of what your email is going to be about. You may have even written your email and it's just thinking about those subject lines. So again, prompting with the what it's about, who it's for, what you're aiming for as your outcome, and generate 10, 20, 50 subject lines. And then you can, A-B test too in that campaign. Similarly, you can do it for podcast ideas. You can do it for workshop ideas, giving that, top line view and then getting ChatGPT to generate you a large list. Another great area, for ChatGPT in that copywriting kind of space is proofreading. So actually uploading your content into ChatGPT and asking it to proofread it for you, asking it to actually do the grunt work and edit, or, another part of that is shortening it. Sometimes we write copy that goes over the copy limit, and being able to ask it to reduce this 2,000 word essay to 1,700 words or to 1,500 words, is going to take some of that grunt work out, and then you just need to give it a final read through and make sure you're happy with it. And I guess that's, something that's really important as well, is remembering when we're looking at ideation or when we're looking at kind of assistance, copy assistance, we still need to be the final sign off as the humans. This is where we add the value, and, shortening copy especially can be a bit of a dicey game, and you might lose something that was really critical. So, being able to sanity check that once it's done and make sure you're happy with the result. And then finally, of course, blogs. I think ChatGPT is a great tool for coming up with blog ideas. So you might tell it about your audience and ask it to generate some blog ideas. You might tell it about the keywords you're trying to target and ask it to generate some blog ideas. Or you might ask it to investigate some competitors and generate some blog ideas. And then when you pick a blog idea, you could go one step further and ask it to give you a blog outline, and it will give you kind of different headings and dot points. Now, you might use 10% of that, you might use 50%, but what that's going to do again is get rid of that blank piece of paper and get the ball rolling for you. It's so important, obviously, from an ethics standpoint, to remember you should never just write something in ChatGPT and use it, because ethically that's not your work. But further to that, anything that ChatGPT creates is not going to have your brand, tone of voice, your personality, the exact right call to actions and those sorts of things. So the copywriting space is really around your idea generation, giving you the time, giving you the time back to be able to write something that's really on brand and is going to be a really important tool. Moving on to AI design tools. So obviously when it comes to marketing, we do spend a lot of time writing, and then we also do spend a lot of time being creative, especially if we're doing it ourselves and we're trying to be a little bit of a jack of all trades. So I think the design tool area of AI is something, again, to look at. I wouldn't be rushing out to have design programs 100% create and execute my creative, but looking at some, AI problem solving that can happen and that can work alongside you, again, that really can save you time. So looking at Canva, obviously, my goodness, you know, the role and impact that Canva has had for marketers and for, you know, DIYers, small business owners, students in the last near decade is phenomenal, and it just gets better and better. Now with AI, you know, backing it or investment in AI technology, we're seeing Canva become a more and more powerful and robust tool that really rivals some of the more professional design tools that, you know, we once relied on, or we once relied on other people for. So within Canva, I guess a couple of AI hacks that I enjoy. Again, I'm no designer, and I certainly always use a professional designer if it's a brand creation, if it's a logo, if we're producing something that's either going to be printed, or if we're producing sort of cornerstone graphics that are going to be for a large campaign or an event, or you know, large scale advertising. But for your smaller social media needs, Canva can do a great job. One of my favorite things that they've come out with is Magic Fill. So imagine, if you will, when you have a square picture and, you know, maybe at the bottom of the picture, I had one the other day, it's on my Instagram feed, and it was at an event, and we were all standing in front of a sign, and in front of our feet was a rug, and above us was some roof, and it was a square image, and I wanted it to be portrait for my Instagram feed, because I know Instagram portrait images get a little bit more real estate, so I like to use those instead of square. So when I popped it into my template with the right dimensions, I found that I couldn't expand the image across its width without cutting out people, but at its current width, I didn't have enough height to fill the space. So I used Canva Magic Fill. So I simply went into the photo editing tools, I selected Magic Fill, and I said I wanted to fill the space. And what it gave me was scenarios where it had created more of the rug, or it had created more of the roof, and I could pick from the different scenarios to suit myself. Now, as I said, if you head over to my Instagram feed and you scroll down and you see this image, I actually picked a little bit of the floor and I picked a little bit of the roof, and I think it's pretty seamless. I think that Magic Fill is a great tool to help you with photos and getting them to work in that kind of space that you're looking for. Another great hack in Canva using their AI tools, and this is when I got served on TikTok. I get a lot of Canva tips on TikTok, and I really loved it. It was at scale image generation using text input upload. Now, if you're a dinosaur like me, you would remember using Word and merging it with Excel files to create things like name tags for events or mass letters for mail outs. Now, this is stuff I probably did in my very first job almost 20 years ago. And I'm not sure, you know, if juniors today have the same sort of work. But I almost likened this tool in Canva to the same. So you can, when we talked before about headline generation, let's imagine those headlines you actually were going to use in a graphic format. So maybe you're looking at some ad design assets and you want to try 10 different headlines against pretty much the same image in the graphic itself. You can make one of the image with a headline in it, and then you can use the Canva app and upload a file of all the other headlines, and then you can essentially run a AI script that will generate all the versions for you. So instead of copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, AI within Canva will actually spin you the 10, 20, 50 images that you want, updating that headline each time using the text list that you've given it. So, you know, from a time-saving perspective, it's huge. I mean, if you were doing a personalized invite, instead of having to roll down that invite and, you know, change the name for each person in Canva, could now run this AI assistant, and it's under apps and obviously Canva Pro, but it can then, you know, spit out all those invites with a personal name on it for you without you having to do that grunt work. And then another great Canva tip or hack for you is adding elements to your images. Now, this can be a little bit hit and miss, and I think Canva's getting better and better with its image generated AI, But, you know, this might be, and again, I refer to my own Instagram going back some time now. I wanted to do, or I was writing a post about eating the frog. And so I had a picture and I wanted to add a frog to it. Now, not every frog variation was great. Some were really dodgy, but I got one that was pretty good. And that's where I guess, you know, you can use Canva to save you time of creating, you know, another image, cutting the background, uploading it, try to put it in the right spot. Instead, you can go into the Canva photo editing tools and you can say, you know, add a blue sunflower or, you know, add a bowl of chocolate and play around with the versions to find the right one for you. And you know, sometimes your image just needs a shadow or a reflection. So a great app in Canva for reflections as well. And this is all AI creativity built into Canva that you can use. You know, obviously, if you want more advanced design tools, there's some great tools like Midjourney or within Jasper where you can do image generation from scratch and really start to create design assets from scratch in there using AI technologies that will take your text and create imagery based on it. Finally, I want to touch on, I guess, some old favorite productivity hacks or, you know, marketing go-tos that we've loved over the years that are now just that little bit shinier with an AI twist. And, you know, all of our programs, all of our apps are going to start to embrace AI more so that they are, number one, you know, staying at the top of their game. And number two, increasing our efficiencies. You know, HubSpot has built in a lot of AI. Microsoft has built in a lot of AI now in Word, in Outlook. You know, we're just going to see it more and more. I've obviously spoken about Facebook and Google building AI into their ads platforms as well. So these are a couple of marketing tools that now I believe are, you know, really pushing on AI to become even more integrated in our day and to allow us to save a lot of time as well. So the first one I want to talk about is Zapier, depending how you pronounce it. Now, Zapier is something I've used for a very long time, and you know, it's had a great history of being a time-saving tool. So what it is, it's a if this, then that tool. There are other if this, then that tools, but basically what they do is they connect different programs. So with Zapier, you can sort of say, if something happens over here in program A, I want to trigger something to happen in program B. So, for example, if somebody comments on my Facebook post over here, I want to trigger an action in a Google Sheet over there. Now, previously, there was no way that we could get Facebook and Google Sheets to speak together. But when we use Zapier, we can connect both our Facebook and a fresh Google Sheet, and then we can make that sheet populate from Facebook data based on what's going on. So ways that I've used Zapier in the past are things like clients doing lead generation campaigns, either via Facebook or a landing page, and they just wanting a spreadsheet that collects those leads. So I've connected either their website to a Google Sheet or Facebook lead ads to a Google Sheet, and that data has then populated in. We used to use it for multi-step MailChimp actions, which I think now you can do a lot more in MailChimp. But for example, if someone subscribes to this list, also subscribe them to that list or to a segment in a list. Or if somebody subscribes to this list, tag them with this. And if they get tagged with this, then, you know, email me to say somebody's been tagged with that. So, you know, there's lots of different types of things that we can do that marry programs together that previously were not going to go together. And, you know, we have ones within our CRM that marry our CRM to Xero or might marry our CRM to Monday to prompt things in Monday. So again, it's that relationship between different applications. So now with AI, Zapier is, I guess, a little bit more intuitive. So in terms of setting up your Zaps, you're going to save time. So you can go to Zapier and say, you know, type in a box what you want it to do, and it will draft the zaps for you, and you'll just need to connect it. Whereas before, you had to kind of be able to understand the logic of the steps that needed to happen, what you wanted to connect, how that was going to connect, where, you know, with AI, I think the time saving with Zapier is the logic, the planning, the schema, if you like, is all being done for you. Another great old fave made new again is Grammarly. Grammarly is a fantastic tool. I have been told that I am a grammar Nazi. I don't think I particularly have the best grammar when I write, but I certainly can proof other people's work and can really stick on, you know, grammar, punctuation, those sorts of things, spelling, contractions, you know, like the you're invited and the you're invited. And I guess, you know, as the head of an agency responsible for so many people's content in the wild, I really take that responsibility seriously, that the content that leaves our agency should be at the highest standard. So lots of my team use Grammarly to help them sort of proof on the go, to see as they're writing, you know, those grammar needs and those spelling needs and corrections and, you know, even suggestions about how to make text better. And what we're seeing now with AI is that actual ability for Grammarly to suggest better framing. So, you know, if you write a paragraph, you can have Grammarly give you suggestions about how to make the paragraph better. So almost like that copy edit, copy check. So not just looking for, you know, conventional grammar anymore, but actually looking at prose and composition of text and what's going to work really well. So I think this is fantastic. Again, if you write a lot of blog content, if you're writing web content, lots of emails, that having that kind of Grammarly with that AI lens to help you improve the writing that you do, I think is a really great time-saving hack as well. And then the last sort of place we've seen old favorite shinier with AI is within that mail, email, CRM sort of space. So, you know, particularly what I was going to talk about is ActiveCampaign and MailChimp. But as I touched on before, even things like HubSpot, you know, they've really included AI within their latest updates to stay on track and to stay, I guess, on trend and in favor. But with ActiveCampaign and MailChimp being more of your sort of email marketing / CRM, what we're seeing there is AI really being used to help with segmentation. So being able to make segmentation recommendations and help us as marketers or business owners to understand our data more, drill down into our data more, but getting that kind of proactive look. So we're getting prompted on what we could be doing. We can also automate, both have had journeys and customer journeys for a long time, but sort of like Zapier, you needed to really be the architect of that journey and really, you know, pull things down and create the dependencies and the, you know, if this happens and go down this pathway, if it doesn't happen, go down that pathway. But now the platforms again are actually using AI to be able to generate more of that for you. So draft it for you to then go back in and make those changes, saving you time, making it a lot easier, and probably, again, enhancing your thinking, enhancing your work with suggestions that you may not have thought of. And lastly, obviously, within those platforms, that copy enhancement piece, similarly to what I just spoke about with Grammarly, having that copy enhancement where if you're writing an email or your subject line, you're able to use AI logic within the platforms to look at, you know, what's a better version of this? What else could I be writing about? Or how else could I structure this? What sort of subject lines do really well? How can my subject line sort of align to that? So these are just a handful of AI time-saving hacks. Again, through that marketing small business owner lens, I think that there's so many tools. And, you know, a process that we're talking about at the moment within my own business, it's almost starting a register of tools that we're trying, writing notes about what's great about it, writing notes about if it's not, you know, great or what the limitations were, to really be able to share between ourselves, what are the AI tools that we want to be using going forward? What is warranted a subscription? What is warranted investment? I'm a great believer in, you know, cost benefit analysis. And, you know, if the tool costs $100 a month and it can save you 5 hours, what is an hour of your time worth? If an hour of your time is worth, you know, less than $20, well, then don't get the tool. But the second your hour of time is worth more than $20, that 5 hours of time being saved for $100 a month, you know, there's your cost benefit analysis. And so, as I said, we're really starting to test different tools to kind of create our own agency footprint on what AI tools are going to complement our workflow and save us time and help us put more time into, you know, strategic decision making, creativity, you know, long-term vision, the things that really matter. So I hope you found this episode interesting. I'd love to know what AI tools you're going to try. I'd also love to know what AI tools you're already using and how they're benefiting you and your workflow as well. So thanks again for listening today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode. If you don't want to miss one, make sure you subscribe to the show in your podcast app. And if you love it, be sure to share it with friends and colleagues who you think could benefit from increasing their digital marketing confidence. Want more? Head to marianneamies.com to find out how you can work with me directly, to reach out to have me speak at your event, or to grab yourself some free resources.